In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During his ascent to Calvary, Jesus is not only physically bludgeoned and bloodied along the way, Christ, the Savior is the of the world, is also scorned and mocked and made fun of and ridiculed. And he is these things for being a king. And he's mocked by four different types of people in the gospel. Several of them we have today. He's mocked by Pilate, the supposed ruler of Israel anyway, who is responsible for that inscription above our Lord. This is the King of the Jews. And he did not say that and put that there as an honor. And then he's mocked by people in the crowd, the rulers. He saved others, they said. Let him also save himself. He's mocked by the soldiers who are standing by, who offer him sour wine to relieve him. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. That's the big one, right? That's the one by one of the criminals that are hanging there beside of Jesus. Save yourself and us. Save yourself from the cross. And us too. Right? It's that and us that strikes us, isn't it? It's the and us that rings down through the ages and hits our soul. Because in the book of Revelation, what do we see? We see Jesus the King. We see him as the Almighty Lord of hosts. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. But then in the gospel, what do we see? In the gospel, we see him standing before the scorn and the hatred and the derision of men, seemingly helpless, seeming as if he can do nothing to stop what's coming to him. And we see what we think are two different versions, two different descriptions of the same God. First is Christ the King, Christ the Almighty, Christ the Pantocrator. And second, the man who died on the cross. And we want to ask Christ, if you're all these things, Lord, certainly you should be able to save yourself from the cross. Certainly you should be able to do that. You should be able to save yourself and save us from any cross, any pain, any suffering that we might endure in this life. You should be able to save yourself from the humility and the death of the cross. And we say this because we don't really know how to suffer well anymore. We don't really know how to bear the cross well in this life, especially in modern Western society. And an America that has had more riches and more delicacies than any nation, any empire that has ever existed on the earth. We do not suffer well. But which one of us hasn't asked that same question at some point throughout our lives? Same question that these men and women ask in the gospel. Right? If you are the King of the universe, why did you allow yourself to be nailed to a cross? If you love us, why do you say to us that we must also pick up a cross in order to follow after you? Why, Christ? Why would you allow this to happen? Why isn't everything the way I think it should be? Why didn't you save my friend? You know, he was 35 years old. And he had two children and he died. Two fatherless children that exist right now. Lord, why didn't you save him from his cross too? Why not my grandfather from the immense indignity of the death he died, which was severe? Why didn't you intervene for him and for me? Why didn't you save yourself, you see, and us? There's so much suffering in this world. Jesus, if you're the Son of God, why don't you take those crosses from those people? Take it off of their back. Take it off of our backs. This question is common to the race of Adam, the fallen race of Adam, in this paradise lost, this wilderness that we've created. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and the last day of the church year, last day of the Christian year. Today is the day that we celebrate Christ as the creator of galaxies, the head of the church, and the king of the universe. And in our meditation upon Christ this day, we must ask, what kind of king is this anyway? What kind of king does not use his own power to save himself from immense, immense suffering? Does not use his power to save himself from death even? What kind of king is this? Who doesn't use his dominion over everything to get those that he loves off their crosses too? And what you must know is that today we are at the very, very heart of who our God is. Because we are at the very mystery of the heart of love. The Lord chose of his own volition to experience firsthand the place of greatest pain, the place that he endured all of our woes and all of our suffering and all of our hurt, the place that we call Golgotha in Calvary, right? The place of the skull. And so what that means is that when we are met with the holy cross of Christ, when we meet it, we are met face to face with just how much God loves us. Where he chose not to avoid the suffering of this world, but for us to endure it all to the end. You would think this is obvious enough. But we all need to be reminded pretty much every day, at least I do, that you and I are not the same as God. Right? We are not our own gods, but we also try to avoid suffering at all costs. Like, entire systems of religion have been invented for this, like Buddhism is one of them, right? To just alleviate human suffering in the world. But we need to be reminded of that fact, right? When we get only like a taste of just a hint of suffering, and we feel it weighing down on us, bearing on our shoulders, on our souls, what's the first thing that we do? I'll tell you the first thing I do, pretty much all the time, is complain. Right? I can see that I'm not alone in that. Right? Why me, oh God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why am I having to go through this? Right? It can even get to the point where we get angry at God. And we become indignant because we're hurt. And some folks decide, and they do, I have seen it, not to acknowledge him as king anymore because of suffering, because of their hurt, right? It's an interesting reality for the race of Adam that the entirety of the world can be suffering. Right? It's a horribly disturbing characteristic of men that children can be dying from war, from starvation, from malaria, from genocide, and on and on and on. The whole world can be burning. And we never ask that question, right? We never ask why. But as soon as it's us, as soon as we're the ones who experience suffering, something goes wrong with me, something goes wrong with my family, my friends, my loved ones. When something goes wrong with my life, it's then and only then that I start to cry out to God, why? And sound like one of the psalmists in their prayers. Why, Lord? How long, O Lord? How could you allow this to happen, Lord? The Bible talks about the reality of the old Adam, right? Which is that selfish, self-serving, greedy, egoistic nature of the flesh and of the world that we are called to fight and struggle and contend with every single day of our life. We were talking about this in Bible class this morning, right? Every single day we are to fight against this and live repentant lives. That's the fallen old Adam in a nutshell, right? If you question whether he exists in you, guess what? That's him. That's him questioning. Right, the Bible talks about this reality over and over again. Praise be to God that our King Jesus Christ is not this way. Right? If you think that he is, then you have missed something huge, something incredible about the faith of the church. You've missed seeing that our God is the King who makes himself to be the suffering servant. The Lion of Judah who makes himself to be the Lamb of slaughter. Because his nature is love. And the nature of love, beloved of the Lord, is not to avoid suffering. It's not to avoid pain, nor the places of pain. When you love someone, you will endure anything for them. Doesn't matter the cost. Doesn't matter the blood, the sweat spilled. That's the way love is. Love, if it must, runs to meet pain and suffering head on. A parent who's held their injured or sick child can tell you exactly that. Give anything just to want to be with her, just to hold her and to comfort her. Why? Because love seeks out those who are suffering. That's simply what love does. And I'd be willing that there is not much on earth, if anything, that would be able to keep you from your child, especially when she is sick and needs you the most. And I'd also be willing to bet you would pray to God that you yourself could trade places with her and be the substitute for her. And let it be on you rather than on them. Why is it this way? Why is it? This amazing thing we call love, why is it this way? Because love is much stronger and much more courageous than the places of pain and suffering. This, beloved of the Lord, is who God is. It's at the very heart of who he is to go and be with his people in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their suffering, and to even trade places with them and to take the ancient curse on his own body, that death be on him and not us. Because when he beheld the earth and saw all of the pain that we had brought on ourselves, when he saw that the world was sick and on our deathbed and dying, in dire need of a physician, not only did he come to us, he came to us and he said, I will take their disease into my flesh. And I will go through all of their sorrows with and for them. In their darkest hour, I'll walk beside them as their shepherd and guide them, even in and through the valley of the shadow of death. I will always be there with them. I will walk straight to hell and trample down its gates for my love of them. In fact, when the abyss was reaching up its cold hand to grab a hold of us and to claim us, he stepped in. He stepped in the breach and said, not them. You will take me. Not them. Christ the King, the true lover of our soul. Because the true king, instead of abiding on a heavenly throne, our king comes to us. Our king never leaves us alone. And he shows forth the height of his power as he reigns as the Savior and the King of the whole world. From a throne that we did not expect. From a throne that became an altar. And so when we look to the cross, we can know how much he loves us. The height of true kingship and true power and true love is God hanging from that cross for us. That's the source and the height of power. The true king gives up his lives for his subjects. And his suffering is our healing. And it's the true power of this strange king. He has the power that earthly conquerors have always envied and wanted and sought after, but have never had and never will. The power to change the human heart and to create faith, and by God create hope, and most of all, love. Love that would stare down all suffering and even death and be unmoved. He saved others. Let him save himself, they said. Could have. Christ could have. Wouldn't have taken anything but a word or even less. He is no powerless victim of injustice. He's not a martyr. He is Christ the King, the infinite, almighty Yahweh. The world mocks their King as he hangs there for him, and they offer him sour wine and a crown made of thorns for his sacred head. They did this to the one who causes the sun to rise and to set, who keeps the universe from collapsing in on itself, the one upon whom all existence hinges, the true King whose power is made perfect in weakness. And the world to this day still mocks its King. Still mocks its King. In this life, beloved of the Lord, never flee from suffering. I've encouraged many of you to let your own suffering direct you to the sufferings of Christ. And I know that's a big ask, right? That's a huge thing to suggest when you're going through suffering, when you're enduring it. I know it is. But I still do it nonetheless. Don't forget that it's Christ who is your brother. Christ who has endured all things to have you. When suffering comes, and it will, recall to your mind that it is through weakness and long suffering that God has chosen to bring salvation to you. And know not only that your God has gone before you in this, but that he's right there with you. And that he loves you because he's your brother. It's his desire to strip you of all your defenses, of which we create many. Strip you of all of them and mortify and crucify the old Adam in you. To make you to be the other thief on the cross, the blessed thief, St. Dismas on the cross. The thief who knows his crime, who knows what he deserves, but still cries out to the King who is beside him and with him. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what he says. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And why would he want us to be in such a position as that penitent thief crucified beside him? So that every time we lift up our eyes, what do we see? Him. We see him crucified, loving us, our King. The King of all creation. The King of the galaxies and the universe, who will come with all power and with all glory. He is the crucified one who is nailed to his throne. The judge with all power has bled for those whom he judges. The one who separates the sheep and the goats has died for the life of both. And now, the trumpet blast on the last day, it is only the joyous sounding forth of the gospel. The gospel of Christ the King, who is the victorious Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so on this last day of the Christian year, I say, Amen. Come, my Lord. And come, my suffering King, and do it quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.